Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you know a student getting ready to go to college? Or are you looking at going back to school yourself? The Woodward Hines Education Foundation and the Get to College program help more Mississippians get to and through college to get certificates and degrees that lead to meaningful employment. They offer free college planning advice, including hands-on FAFSA completion assistance through in-person or virtual appointments. Visit gettocollege.org to learn more.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Thursday, April 4th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, the Mississippi Senate is set to confirm Dr. Lance Evans as the next state superintendent of education. Then, from the Gulf States newsroom, formerly incarcerated people and their loved ones are learning how to use FaceTime with their state lawmakers and advocate for change. Plus, the solar eclipse is just a few days away, and astronomers say it will be years until another one passes near Mississippi. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The Mississippi Senate is primed to approve a new state superintendent. Last year, lawmakers in the Senate shot down a nomination for Robert Taylor, a nationally acclaimed education administrator. Some Republicans said that denial was due to a lack of connection with Mississippi, despite Taylor being a native of the state. Some black lawmakers say it was because of his race. In December of 2023, Lance Evans was nominated to be the new state superintendent by the Education Board. Well, he has worked as superintendent of the New Albany School District since 2017, implementing vocational courses and career path programs. Now his confirmation has cleared the committee, and it's up to a vote on the Senate floor. Evans tells our Will Stribling the success he found in career programs in New Albany could help inform career training programs throughout the state.
The approach we have taken there is to, on the front end, get business and industry involved. We started with a large-scale internship program and then transitioned over to career exposure labs. And now we have a full K-12 workforce development pathway, if you will, curriculum that we put in place. And then it just leads over into career decisions for them in the future. But also we have a very robust career and technical center and programming. We have 12 two-year programs and then two additional 1 year programs that we have there, and they're all geared up around obviously certifications and most importantly getting students to a point where they're very, very employable when they leave us. Because college and career readiness, they're not synonymous, but they go together. And so we're very targeted in taking that college ready approach as well as that career ready approach. And while we've created a system where we ensure students get both of those before they leave us. And one last piece there is we went from no business partners in our district to we have, I think at the last count, about 220 business partners. And something I'm really excited about is we're starting a program, an additional program with Toyota. You know, they build the Corolla there in Blue Springs right down the road. And we're putting in a 4T Academy in which it's a two-year program that Toyota has obligated, I think it's about, between Toyota and our district and some ARC funding, it's about a $3 million endeavor that's going into an advanced innovation center that we're building. It's an additional career technical center, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, you also mentioned the need for MDE to revisit its strategic plan and get more resources to struggling districts to help boost them up. I was hoping that you could just expand on that a little bit about what specifically you think needs to be done to help these districts.
Yeah, so first of all, the strategic plan piece, it was originally put in place in 2014, I believe, I'd have to go back and check myself. And I know, I believe it was revised in 2016, and then it is still in that current state now. Public education has evolved so much since then, just in that short period of time. And the driving force behind that is making sure that we're putting into place in that strategic plan the things that students need to be successful, to be college and career ready, as well as meeting those expectations of business and industry. Because 10 years ago, there really wasn't a lot of conversation between the expectations of business and industry. It existed, but the conversations weren't being had. But today, it's very clear. It's being articulated. And when you see the efforts that are being made statewide with the funding of career coaches, as far as struggling districts, I always say, you know, William Faulkner has a quote, "Can't understand the world, you understand a place like Mississippi." We all have very positive pieces, and we all struggle in different areas. But that's the entire state. But our districts that have historically struggled, my approach is more of a predicting the problems approach and providing continuous support, and doing it in a way to where you're building the capacity with people there, rather than try to bring in a bunch of people. Because the thing is it's so valuable that people that are from there are the ones helping drive the change and create the success for the students. And I feel as though it's my responsibility to help create those systems for that. And I'm committed to doing that. Because like I said earlier, I'm a Mississippi guy. You won't find anybody that's more proud of being from the state of Mississippi than me. These superintendents in the state of Mississippi, they're my friends. I know them. And I think if you were to ask them, they would say, "I understand them and I want to help them." That is a passion that I have. We're all on the same team.
Yeah, and more on that point, can you just talk about how you believe that the experience that you've had in education in Mississippi makes you best suited to be someone who is a leader for all districts?
Yeah, just as far as experience wise, you know, I began as a teacher and a coach at Oxford School District and Oxford High School, and then transitioned back to Etowamba County, where I'm originally from, for a period of time, was elementary high school principal there, and then transitioned to New Albany, and having that opportunity to be an elementary principal there and a high school principal and the superintendent, all those pieces has created a background or a foundation, if you will, that has allowed me to have experiences and work with people to help mold who I've become and help ensure that we have positive change in Mississippi. So I'm a shared leadership guy. That I believe empowering others to be successful. I get so much joy from watching others be successful. Just understanding Mississippi, you know, and Mississippi's a relationship state, and those relationships, they yield great results in the end. You know, it's one of those deals, we reap what we sow. Well, I have for years sowed relationships and trust, and knowing that you work hard and you're being innovative. You got to be a big thinker, but also be able to pull off the ideas that you put together. Because I've always said, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters what you can convince someone to do, which all that is based on relationships.
Talking about the advancements in career tech, and then also a lot has been said and written about the Mississippi Miracle test scores. What do you think that growth in those two areas on very different ends of the education journey in primary school say about what is being done throughout all levels in our public education system, and where you see us growing from here?
I think that success is a direct reflection of the hard work that people put in, and doing things differently. You know, meeting the needs of kids, meeting them where they are. All of that is as a direct result of that. And I will tell you, Dr. Wright did a wonderful job as a state superintendent. A lot of those initiatives, we have to be sure and give her credit for doing that. She was here, I believe, 9 years was her tenure, and all the work that she did and the MDE and the people at MDE did, bleeding right over into the districts, because, you know, it's, you can, like I said, you can create initiatives, you can have ideas, but if you can't convince others to work with you, and that's kind of a difficult piece of the job, because, you know, MDE doesn't dictate what districts do. You know, they have local autonomy. And that's very important that they have that, because we have to make sure that we are providing resources but allowing them to do what's best for their district, as long as we have positive educational outcomes for our students.
Senate lawmakers are expected to confirm his position in the coming days. Ahead, from the Gulf States newsroom, formerly incarcerated people and their loved ones are learning how to use FaceTime with state lawmakers and advocate for change. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
MPB Think Radio, whatever your taste, news, music, storytelling, or how-to shows. Whatever your city, Natchez, Jackson, Tupelo, Cleveland. However you want, radio, smart speaker, smartphone app. MPB Think Radio.
An evening of jazz can be just what the doctor ordered. Join me, Meredith Michelle, with WJSU's Evening Jazz. 7 to 10 weeknights on MPB Music Radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. In this year's legislative session, Southern lawmakers have taken up dozens of bills dealing with prisons and criminal justice. But families affected by the justice system say weighing in can be a challenge. The Gulf States Newsroom's Kat Stromquist reports on a Mississippi program that aims to turn formerly incarcerated people and their loved ones into lobbyists.
In a drab hotel meeting room just outside Jackson, a woman who once sat on Mississippi's death row is side by side with former state legislator Ron McNeil. Peering at a laptop, she asks McNeil how to learn about past bills. But even he is confused by the legislature's website.
I've got
like archives.
Yeah, I can see 2009 regular session. Mm-hmm.
We're at a training hosted by the Mississippi Center for Reentry. It's for formerly incarcerated people and people with a loved one in prison. Sabrina Butler-Smith was cleared of wrongdoing, but she struggled in prison and after she got out. She wants to learn about political influence to help people with those same issues.
What I would really like to know about more is about bills and how they go through Senate and the House. But I would also want to know, and the hardest thing, which is how to get in their hearts. That's important to me. You know, how to turn them.
The training comes as criminal justice bills churn through southern statehouses. During a recent special session on crime in Louisiana, lawmakers passed bills dealing with the death penalty, parole, and more. Here in Mississippi, people affected by the justice system are anxious to provide input.
So my name is Sandra Freeman. I'm the founder of the Mississippi Center for Reentry. I served a 3-year sentence for trafficking heroin.
She created this program to help people navigate the weird legal terms, complex deadlines, and harried officials.
It's like one minute they're like simplistic, and then they become very complex. And it's like, wait, how do we go from elementary to over here to law school?
Voting rights advocates say this type of work matters in Mississippi, where people convicted of some felonies essentially lose the right to vote. That's been challenged in court. At the training, former state rep Kathy Sykes, who says her son is currently incarcerated, gives advice on wheeling and dealing.
In the legislature, the best thing you can have is relationships. Relationships will get you wherever you're trying to go.
During a role-playing exercise, Sykes plays the part of a disengaged lawmaker.
What's that number again?
House Bill 570.
Her partner in the scene is Elizabeth English, one of thousands of people in Mississippi with a loved one in prison. She says her son is serving a 10-year drug sentence under the state's habitual offender law. It's just pretend, but English's hands shake as she sits across from Sykes.
I only have a GED and a GOD, okay, education. So when you speak to me in Leggy language, I may not grasp it all the way.
But she's motivated to speak up for her son and others like him. He's been incarcerated for 5 years. It's been devastating.
He was not even allowed to attend his child's funeral, to touch him or to even see him one last time. So that was harsh punishment in and of itself. Excuse me, I'm trying to keep it together.
The next day, the group gathers at the state capitol in Jackson. The hallways are crowded with members, staff, and advocates. Some break into the national anthem. Butler Smith, the woman who was wrongfully convicted, says it's a confusing scene.
I'm talking about walking around the halls of the Capitol because I've never been here before, and just seeing all of the things that's happening is kind of confusing.
Today, things don't go quite as planned. The bills the group hoped to hear don't come up in a committee meeting. They sit at a table draped with a flag that reads, "Formerly Incarcerated Caucus." Butler Smith starts connecting with lawmakers.
I'm a death row exonerated, first woman to be exonerated from death row in the United States.
What's your name, sir?
Representative Bull Brown, right here in Hines County.
She talks to so many people, they run out of educational handouts. Butler Smith says she felt good about the response.
I enjoyed it because, I mean, they were receptive. And that's the important part. If you can get people to just listen for a fraction of a second, I feel like you can tug a little way, some kind of way at their heart.
After the event, English emails to say a bill she'd been hopeful about, which would have automatically expunged some criminal records, failed. She writes, "We have to keep trying." For the Gulf States Newsroom, I'm Kat Stromquist.
The Gulf States Newsroom is a partnership among Mississippi Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Alabama and Louisiana. Coming up, the solar eclipse is just a few days away. Astronomers say it will be years until another one passes near Mississippi. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Family Fun Day will be in the Pohl Gymnasium on the campus of Mississippi University for Women in Columbus on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. MPB has partnered with the Mississippi School for Mathematics and Science, MUW, and the Preservation Society of Columbus to host the free event. Come and meet MPB's own Ed Said. The whole family can enjoy music, a health fair, games and activities related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Register at education.mpbonline.org.
Our goal at Everyday Tech is to keep your technology not only working, but working for you. I'm the host, Abram Nanny, and you can join me and my friends Wednesday mornings at 10 on MPB Think Radio. Or search Everyday Tech on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. The upcoming solar eclipse is on Monday. While the full blacking out of the sun may not cross Mississippi, a partial eclipse will hopefully be visible across the state. Cloud cover is in the forecast, though. Having the moon pass in front of the sun is a somewhat annual event, but it very rarely gets close or crosses Mississippi's borders. While it may be tempting to look at the eclipse, experts say it can be damaging to your eyes. Maria Weber is an assistant professor of physics at Delta State University and heads the campus's planetarium. She tells our Kobe Vance about the best ways you can view the eclipse safely.
I'm going to call it a partial solar eclipse. So for us in Mississippi, about 95% to 80% of the sun will be blocked by the moon on our date of April 8th. Now, unless you get yourself to the path of totality, 95% to 80% is not going to be enough to allow us to see the sun's corona, what we're really looking for on eclipse day. These solar eclipse events are incredibly rare, even though they do happen every few years somewhere on the globe. The fact that an eclipse might go through your locality or your hometown is even rarer. So within the United States, the next total solar eclipse we will get is not until 2044, so 20 years from now. In 2044, that eclipse, total eclipse, is just going to clip in a little bit down into Montana. But the really cool thing is, if we wait until 2045, August 2045, we will get a total solar eclipse that goes directly through Mississippi, and the path of totality is right in Cleveland, Mississippi. So if you miss out on this opportunity to observe the total eclipse or even the partial eclipse, you're going to have to wait 20 more years in order to experience that within our location, unless you want to be an eclipse chaser and travel the globe.
Now, I'm looking at the path of the eclipse. It looks like it'll be cutting through Texas and Arkansas.
and then going north from there. If Mississippians wanted to get a good view without having to drive too far, do you have any suggestions?
The suggestion I would make would be to see if you can get yourself to Little Rock. That'll be the place that will be the closest to pretty well any place that we have here in Mississippi. They will be getting about 2.5 minutes of totality at their location in Little Rock. So for 2.5 minutes during the total eclipse, you'll be able to remove your eclipse glasses and view the sun's corona during that time.
This is the second solar eclipse within the past few months. Is this common to have them so close together?
It is not. Now, the thing about eclipse that happened in October was an annular eclipse. An annular eclipse happens when the moon is just a little bit too far away from the Earth, and the moon is a little bit smaller in the sky compared to the sun. To have a total solar eclipse, we have to have the moon and the sun exactly the same size in our sky. Now, it is pretty unusual to have an annular eclipse and a total eclipse so close together, but generally, if we're looking for a total eclipse, one happens somewhere about every 18 months to 2 years, somewhere on the globe. Well, we just get lucky that we've had two cool experiences related to eclipses during, you know, the last few months.
What can Mississippians expect? I know you mentioned some percentages earlier. Mm-hmm. Paint a picture for us of what they can look for.
In our area, the maximum coverage of the sun by the moon will happen, at least for where my location in Cleveland, Mississippi, is going to happen at about 1:54 p.m. on April 8th. Wherever you are in Mississippi, you can kind of expect that you will have the most amount of sun blocked by the moon during that time period. As we approach the maximum coverage of the moon over the sun, we will start to see that it's going to get dark outside. It might even get so dark that our street lights will turn on, that we might even be able to see some of the stars and even planets up in the sky. We will also notice that the temperature will drop a little bit, and you might even experience that animals will start performing their nighttime routines. So you might start hearing birds chirping and crickets or bugs around. They might start making their nighttime noises. So those are other things you can look for. Also, the shadows will start to change around you as well. So you'll notice environmental changes as well, not just, you know, the fact that we've got the moon covering up the sun.
I know it's pretty well known that it's still dangerous to look at a solar eclipse because effectively you are looking at the sun, just staring at it. What are your recommendations for people who want to have a safe time looking at it without having to worry about damaging their eyes?
The important thing to remember is that we should never look at the sun with our naked eye ever. Now, there are a couple of things we can do to be sure that you have a safe viewing experience. You know, the best way is to make sure you can get yourself a pair of eclipse glasses. You'll know that you've got a reputable pair of eclipse glasses. If you look on the inside of the glasses, it'll say ISO 12312-2. That is the International Organization for Standardization, and that number indicates that those glasses are safe for viewing the sun. If you find yourself able to get a hold of a pair of eclipse glasses, check to be sure that they've got that listed on there. Now, if you also have access to welding goggles or welding helmets, you can use that too to observe the sun. The thing is, we should never divert to using sunglasses. Sunglasses are not enough in order to protect our eyes from all the solar radiation that comes from just observing the sun. Another thing you could do is create your own pinhole projector. The idea is that if you can't get a hold of eclipse glasses to directly observe the sun, you can indirectly observe it by putting a little pinhole, like literally taking a, you know, a safety pin and poking a hole in a piece of paper. Hold that above the ground. The light from the sun will project through that hole and then can look at the image on the ground. And as the moon passes in front of the sun, you'll observe that happening as a projection on the ground in front of you. You'll see the moon making its track over the sun. And you can do that with a piece of paper. You can do that by creating something called a pinhole projection box. If you look that up on the internet, there's a whole lot of instructions that you can find for making your own pinhole projector using a cereal box or a shoe box. And you can also use a colander that has a whole lot of holes in it, and you can hold that up above the ground and see the projection of the eclipse on the ground during eclipse day two. So there's a lot of indirect ways you could observe the sun safely.
Maria Weber is an associate professor of physics at Delta State University and heads the campus's planetarium. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.